Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Premium Automobile Studios.
Powering your drive with 10 brands and 20 locations.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
Great work by producers. Henry particularly has been on this. A guy who I think is an American hero, Dr. Eitan Haim, is going to join us here in a second. General trauma surgeon. He's the guy that was all set to go to jail after he revealed through a lot of whistleblowing and a lot of courageous work that Texas Children's Hospital, after the hospital had publicly stated that gender-affirming care, so-called for minors, had stopped being provided. He faced multiple charges related to accessing the medical records and proving that that wasn't the case. He maintained there was no wrongdoing, and both Haim and the reporter maintained all personally identifiable information in the shared documents had been redacted. I think he did absolutely the right things, and yet he was going to go to jail, except for the election, and except for his innocence. He joins us here in Philadelphia on Talk Radio 1210. Dr. Eitan, thank you very much for joining us, and it's Eitan, and it's an honor to have you on the show. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's a privilege.
Well, we all know, or at least we think we know, what a physician should do, medical privacy, HIPAA, et cetera. Was that the heart of what you were charged with? Is that the heart of why you were going to go to jail?
Yeah, and it's more the they used the pretext of HIPAA as the basis for their charges. But as they went through three separate indictments, and all of them fell apart because they were all based on either fabricated evidence or fabricated criminal law. The former led to the downfall of the first indictment, the latter led to the downfall of the second indictment, because even the government had to concede no private information was disclosed, and rather they were using HIPAA not to protect patient information, but rather the secrets of the hospital and the doctors who are lying about doing these transgender interventions. And that's what their indictment explicitly said, that the hospital and the doctors were the victims.
So why is it so give us the context on this. I mean, just so you know where I stand, my son was in Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, which I used to rank as the greatest hospital in the world when he was 18 months. Yet they now are doing similar things, I think, to what you're talking about. They're more public about it. They're doing gender-affirming care. Seems to be a big moneymaker. I can no longer, just because of that, say what I used to say. It is that troubling. So I wanted to ask you a broad question to start, since you've actually suffered on this under the threat of jail, which I can't imagine. What is it that you think is driving it? Money must be one thing, but why are they so convinced, when these things are so traumatic and so irreversible, that they're doing the right thing medically and psychologically, I guess?
So, yeah, it's I think there's a number of things that contribute to it. But I believe that one of the primary driving factors is a loss of meaning, a loss of belief in the individuals who are perpetuating it. And what I mean by that is that these people do not have a moral framework in which to guide their lives. So they have, you know, the metaphorical void within their soul that is filled with something. And in this case, it is filled with this ideology that therefore serves as a template for which to guide their actions. So for them, like, their soul, their meaning in life is, unfortunately, the mutilation and sterilization of these kids. But they have adopted this ideology to give them the meaning they seek in life, to make themselves the heroes, you know, the righteous saviors of these children, when in actuality, what they're really doing is destroying them. So it's like a tale that's as old as time, right? It's a condition that is part of the human experience. And I think that's what's driving it. It's when these people don't have a moral framework, they have to fill it with something. And in this case, it's transgender ideology.
I'm so glad to hear you go beyond the usual, because I usually go, we all know money can be a motivation. We all know that. But what you said is even more disturbing. That we might be able to deal with and say it revolts us. But what you're talking about here, this virtue, beyond virtue signaling even, is operational all over the place. When you first came to this, how did you feel about this? I mean, I'm sure in the medical journals, and I think the consensus might have been, well, these kids will be suicidal if you don't do that. When you were studying and all, that seems to be the consensus, right?
Yeah. And so, you know, if you remember, I mean, in 2020, during that election, the whole transgender thing was not an issue. It wasn't even brought up in any of the primary debates.
Right.
Right. This was a new thing in 21 and 2022. So for me, when I first started learning about this from like libs of TikTok and on X, I was horrified. And because I thought this was more of like a fringe element in like the far reaches of like blue state America, like Jazz Jennings. And, you know, it's still a fringe thing. But after 2020, this became mainstream. This became a protocolized algorithm in all the children's hospitals in America. So when I first encountered it, I didn't believe it was real. Truly, like, when I say that, I didn't believe they were actually doing what they were doing. But then as I saw it more and more, I started looking more into it. You know, I started looking at these studies that they were supposedly citing as like, you know, concrete evidence. And as any doctor can look at any of this research, it is, prime examples of fraudulent scientific. This is like, it's like snake oil. This is witchcraft. These studies are completely bogus, but like explicitly bogus. So once I started looking through these studies, it was like pretty clear what was going on, right? And it just take time for more people to start waking up to what was happening. So it was more a gradual understanding of what, like the severity of the crimes that were happening. It took me a little bit of digging in research, but that's kind of the conclusion I came to.
Well, it seems to me too, and I don't have it handy in front of me. I remember a year or so ago we talked about this 10 years they were monitoring its study, and then the psychologist, or I guess psychologist involved, and it was government money involved, wouldn't publish it because the conclusion was, you're not helping these kids avoid suicide and the rest of it, the threat often given to parents and others in this, that's just not factually true. And what you're doing is setting them up on an irreversible course.
Yeah, and that's an important thing to know, is that these doctors, they have the skills, the training to be able to differentiate between the two. They should have known what they were telling these families and these children was a lie. And they told him anyway. They morally blackmailed him into conceding, into consenting to a set of interventions that was ultimately going to destroy them. And all those studies, like the one you mentioned, that did have supposedly positive results, if you look at the methods section, like any study has a method section. When you look at that, you see like there's no way that you could have possibly taken the result and attributed that to an actual phenomenon in physical reality, which is like the critical thing in scientific research. You have a theory about something, right? You have to test whether that theory actually applies to real life. And in all these studies, the bar was not passed, like the threshold was not crossed in order to make that determination. And it was very obvious. So these people, you know, this is negligent medical care on the part of these doctors. And I would say in a lot of cases, they were knowingly harming these children.
We're talking here with somebody who has been to the end. So how close were you to going to jail? Was it right before the election?
Well, I would say, you know, I would say about 12 hours because so I was under a de facto gag order, right? Which is kind of odd because someone like me, I've never been recognized publicly, right? I'm like, and it's a story that most people don't even know. And especially Houston is one of the largest federal districts in the entire country. And gag orders are for people who actually have the ability to influence a jury and are like disclosing evidence in order to sway a jury pool. And in my case, I was just criticizing the government for all of their failures, right? They had fabricated a story in the first indictment, it fell apart. They had fabricated crimes in the second indictment, it fell apart. They included a typo in their second indictment in the operative language. That's why it fell apart, right? So I was just pointing out observations that my lawyers had already made in their motions. So because of that, the government moved to gag me, and the judge went along with it. And instead of granting the gag order, right, he didn't grant it, didn't deny it, but said that he was going, you know, that he threatened me with jail if I continued to speak out. But he didn't delineate the boundaries of what I could or could not say. So he drew a line in the sand, but didn't define where that line stood. So if I said anything, I would risk going to jail. And that was in early December, December 3rd. So for the next month and a half, or like really 2 months, you know, I stayed quiet, right? Because we didn't have any money.
I know. We've been trying to get you on and thinking, what the heck is going on here? Yeah, exactly.
It's because I was gagged. It was a de facto gag order. And for someone who has no ability to sway a jury. So at a certain point after the inauguration of Donald Trump on January 20th, when he signed his EO, ending the weaponization of the DOJ, behind closed doors in the days that followed, the DOJ was escalating my case towards trial. And when I saw that, right, I was like, this has gone too far. I have to speak out. So I spoke out on X. I wrote, you know, I can no longer afford to stay silent. This is a kangaroo court. There's nothing we can do legally in order to obtain justice, right? The decisions have already been made by the people, by the DOJ, by the judge. So in response to that, the judge was on the verge of issuing a warrant for my arrest for violating order that he never signed, for violating conduct that he never defined. It's a completely illegal use of his authority in order to constrain my First Amendment rights. And the DOJ, like other people within the DOJ, had to talk him down. Like it was, this guy had gone completely insane, right? And he was going to send me to jail. And that was a Thursday evening, January 23rd. And then January 24th, which was a Friday morning, if I remember correctly, the central DOJ in Washington, the transition team, had issued guidance to the Southern District of Texas, which is where this was being tried, to say, you guys have to drop this case with prejudice because there's no basis for it. It's completely corrupt. You have to do this now. So the 2 days after I spoke out, one day after I found out I was almost going to go to jail, that Friday, January 24th, the DOJ issued a motion to dismiss my case with prejudice, and then a few hours after, the judge had to sign it, I'm sure very begrudgingly.
Oh,
and then
without a doubt.
1 minute I'm facing 10 years in prison, the next minute I'm free.
Unbelievable. You are still practicing, you're a general trauma surgeon, so you're still doing that, we know. Are you someone who is going to continue in this vein? You've really taken one for the team here. And a point you made in the beginning, too, this wasn't the bluest of blue states. This was happening in Texas, of all places.
In Houston, Texas, yeah, and the hospital was lying about it. But it goes to show, like, the speed at which the prosecution had went after me, and they did so with the compliance of the hospital. And there are a lot of things that happened within the indictments, within the evidence, that are kind of beyond the scope of this conversation, but demonstrate a willingness of the hospital to participate in the corruption that the DOJ was pursuing. Because this was not just the DOJ. This was the FBI, TCH, and Baylor College of Medicine.
Wow. Well, we know that you were in the center of something here that is huge. And I really like what you said. I'm sure these are money-making, but you saw the deeper problem that's here. This crisis is virtue signaling and beyond. So, again, are you going to be writing about this? Are you going to be doing something else around this?
Yeah. So we still owe about like $1 million in legal fees. Oh. So we got to find a way. I got to find a way to pay that back.
Do you have a GoFundMe? Do you have a GoFundMe page?
Yeah. So it's, if anyone wants to donate, we're just trying to get back to even, so it's givesendgo.com/Texas_whistleblower. And the total cost of everything was about $2 million, which is actually for all the work that went into it, for having to all the subpoenas, all the research, all the motions. You know, this was one of the biggest HIPAA cases in the history of HIPAA case. This was probably the biggest HIPAA case in the history of HIPAA. And, my attorneys, worked at a hugely discounted rate. And so we're just trying to get back to even, or else we'll probably have to, file for bankruptcy. But so I'm going to write a book, hopefully just help probably pay that back.
Well, we definitely want to have you on and promote that and continue to hear from you as you move forward. Again, we're honored to have you because, looking at this case under threat of 10 years in jail, thank God we have guys like you. And I could tell by how you answered what was the causal element here with people pitching this stuff. You went way beyond just the usual money into something much more threatening and deeper. Doctor, thank you. And again, you have Henry's contact, our contacts. Let us know as this proceeds in any way that we can help. We'd love to have you back.
Of course, anytime. It's a privilege to speak with you.
Thank you, Dr. Anton, here on Talk Radio 1210. I'd love to get your reaction. All right, Henry, you did that, brought it to fruition. We couldn't tell when he was gagged and when he was not.
Yeah.
And again, he was moments away, with this judge, as he said, 10 years in jail, etc. Look, doing what he did is a drastic action. But again, I think it's legal, and so do the Trump administration and the DOJ, and you heard what he said, it cost $2 million. Wow. And again, he went beyond. He didn't just accuse these hospitals, and in some cases, it's a money-making thing. I didn't say that about Children's Hospital of Philadelphia either. I think there's a deeper problem. This is their virtue signaling. This is what they filled themselves up with, and they think we're preventing kids. They're going to commit suicide if you don't let them go down this path. That's what it comes down to.
That's the message.
That's the message. Wow. It's and most of this stuff seems to be irreversible. So
I just want to know how it felt. Looking at 10 years and then suddenly it's like you're free to go.
Yeah.
Just that weight that has to be lifted off your shoulders and out of your stomach. Just
he's very calm and a very elevated guy. He didn't say, as I thought he might, well, it's a lot of money. He went way beyond that to what the root problem is. All right, give us your reaction. Kudos to Henry, too. When people say, well, why don't you have this person? You don't know what it's like sometimes to do this. This is a month. I don't know if it went back to September or not, but it's been months and months of tracking this guy. And his story, when the book comes out, will certainly do that. 855-839-1210. You get on board. We'll take your calls on that. Also, coming up, got a couple of other things that have developed around what we've been talking about. Jeff Bezos over at the Washington Post says that he wants an editorial board at the Washington Post, and the chief editor resigned over this. We're going to be writing every day in support and defense of two pillars, personal liberties and free markets. And the guy who headed up the editorial page and a lot of people at the Washington Post are now saying they can't support that. They can't do that as an editorial opinion editor. Think about that. That's pretty extreme, don't you think? Is there anything wrong with supporting those two? Now, of course, devil in the details, but you can't support personal liberties and free markets? Which one don't they support? First, though, let's swing into... All right, Dom's Money Melody.
I completely missed that. I didn't realize what you
were
doing.
That's okay.
It's Dom.
There you go.
Money Melody.
I thought that was a decent segue. All right. Today we're playing for a pair of movie passes to see Brothers After War at the Regal Warrington Crossing in Warrington, Pennsylvania, from executive producer, our guy, Gary Sinise. Jake Redemacher reunites with his brothers and fellow soldiers, revealing the raw truth of war and the journey from warrior to veteran. Don't miss Brothers After War in theaters now from SDG Releasing and the Gary Sinise Foundation, rated R. All right, Henry, what do you have?
Yeah, so today we're talking, what's that all-time acronym? What's that all-time abbreviation? How about a song cover for this? Michael Jackson had a big hit back in, I guess it was the 80s, I presume, with PYT, Pretty Young Thing. So I am going to play a cover of PYT. I want one of the two singers that are singing the song or the famous producer that helped coordinate this cover. All right? Here we go.
The answer, and you are headed off to the Gary Sinise film that we've been talking about. Here's how you get in. 855-839-1210, AT&T and Verizon Wireless. All you have to do is just push pound 1210. Hey, it's time to celebrate American Heart Month with Rescue Natural Supplements. For nearly 40 years, Rescue Omega-3s have been providing people with the essentials to fortify heart health, reduce inflammation, and support healthy cholesterol levels. That's why it's the best time to dive into Rescue's February special. Right now, Rescue's most popular products are premium omega-3 fish oils, are buy one, get one free exclusively for radio listeners. Just use the listener code OMEGA50 when placing your order. Call them at 800-26-ALIVE, 800-262-5483. Speak to a knowledgeable product consultant, or use that code OMEGA50 online when you visit res-q.com, res-q.com. Don't forget, use that code OMEGA50 when buying one bottle of Rescue Omega-3s to receive a second bottle free. Again, use the code OMEGA50. Fortify your heart, support a healthier well-being with a Rescue Omega-3.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period.
That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And together, we host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
It's the Money Melody.
Where has all the money gone?
Show me the money.
All right, let's hear the clue today. And I think Henry told me we'll accept a few different answers.
A few different answers here.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, let's hear the clue.
It's the perfect time. We can dim the lights just to make it bright in the night. Hit the love spot. I'll give you all that I got. I want to love you.
Pretty young thing. You need some loving.
All right, let's go to... It's just Jeff, right? I'm just
looking, yeah, we lost the other ones, I
okay,
guess.
Okay, all right. Jeff and King of Prussia. All right, Jeff, give us your answer.
Hey, Don, good afternoon.
Afternoon.
I was thinking Justin Bieber.
Okay, no Bieber. Try again. 855-839-1210.
Yeah, maybe give some hints.
Yeah,
one is a legendary producer, recently passed away in the last few years. The one very auto-tuned voice you sound, he is the creator of auto-tune, or one of the biggest proponents of using auto-tune.
Okay.
And the third artist, the other person you might have heard singing in the song, his father was a famous actor, now also deceased.
All right, so hit us with that. 855-839-1210. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, you just push #1210. That's a lot of clues. We ought to get somebody here. And when we get the winner, we'll announce that. You can just take their calls. All right. So as I mentioned, Jeff Bezos says he put out this memo and he wanted a hard yes, or you really don't want to do it. That's okay. You can resign, to people at the Washington Post. And what it said is the core of this, I'm writing to let you know about a change coming in our opinion pages. We are going to be writing every day in support and defense of two pillars, personal liberties, what would they be against there, and free markets. We'll cover other topics too, of course, but viewpoints opposing those pillars will be left to be published by others. All right. So, as soon as you say we're not going to put in columns that are taking a point against personal liberties, why would you engage in that? And the second one, free markets. These people wanting communism, socialism. All right, so this has caused quite a stir today. Again, is this a reaction to Trump, where he's going with the Washington Post, kind of? Now, it's not just the Washington Post. It's also the L.A. Times has a new ownership group. We talked to Scott Jennings about it. So we're seeing things change here tremendously. All right, I'm going to take more of your calls, but coming up, and we'll give a winner as soon as we have that. Coming up, do you remember the weird name and where that was? We had no idea. Charleroi. Remember that? I don't know. It was Dan and Henry tracking down this guy we got on the city councilman there about principally Haitians. Huge numbers coming to this small town. Now, this was around the time of the Springfield incident. And this is the time where, the allegation was they're eating pets and all. Remember all that? But it was small town America on the ropes because of the fact that we had these small towns being invaded by people. Maybe they're here illegally. Maybe these big refugee programs dumped in there, taking jobs, not able to read stop signs. Remember all the things that happened. And the controversy was over Springfield. But then we found out about Charleroi. We had the guy on. I'll give you an update about the guy who was the principal figure bringing people to Charleroi and why he's pleaded guilty to harboring illegal aliens for a profit. and going to jail, and rightfully so. And there's no doubt he's pleaded guilty. This is just kind of, squaring the circle, so to speak, here of what happened in this town. And the Inquirer and others saying it's all made up. This is just ridiculous. This is the type of thing that people on the right are just savaging people. They don't mean any. The whole thing that we heard, small town xenophobia. I remember it because I was in the spin room when President Trump in the debate with Kamala Harris went off about the pets in that one town. Well, this was the other town. There may have been two or three of them. Aurora was the other one with gang members taking over housing complex, rental complexes. And Martha Raddatz saying, only one. And that's when J.D. Vance said a handful.
Yeah.
Do you hear what you're saying? And I know that was like a dagger to the heart. Do you hear what, just hear what you're saying here? And she still would not relent at the end of that. Well, I'll give you the details on this guy. It's quite amazing what he was getting away with until the attention was focused on this.
I've got a programming note on that.
Yes.
Tomorrow we'll have the mayor of Charleroi, Greg Dorfler,
okay,
and Councilman Larry Szilassi
that's the guy.
At 1:30 tomorrow afternoon.
That guy was quite a card.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. All right. They'll be with us at 1:30. Thank you for that. And Bill O'Reilly at 12:15 tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You got to hear this. You know, Bill O'Reilly's a master entrepreneur. He used to do these road events. We saw him in AC with this. Very clever. Was very funny. Dennis Miller and O'Reilly. Now it's a new one called Three Americans. It's Chris Cuomo, who won't get a word in edgewise in this. And he'll be in the center, I think, interviewing kind of. Bracketed by O'Reilly and Stephen A. Smith. Oh, my goodness. And I think Cuomo knows at any moment, the two of them could go off.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do, anything could happen. I would put Araldo in the center between the two of them. Because Araldo would go off on either one at any moment, too.
Oh,
this
no.
Could be, yeah, this could be quite a... It's called Three Americans. They're going to start with one in Westbury. But I have a pretty good sense when they asked O'Reilly tomorrow, one of them, they'll come here, I'm hoping, so that we can be part of that, among other things. I want to ask O'Reilly about this Jake Tapper book, too, out. Tapper talking about the decline of Biden and how the media covered it up. He's writing about it. Wasn't he part of it? That's what the argument is. All right, 855-839-1210. We'll get a winner here, too. Jump in. Let Henry know. When we get a winner, we'll
I got a winner.
It. Oh, you do have a winner.
Yeah.
Good.
Jose in Feasterville was today's winner. He correctly guessed T-Pain as one of the singers. We also would have accepted Quincy Jones as the producer or Robin Thicke as the other singer.
Okay. Those were easier answers, more prominent figure. But okay. Enjoy the Gary Sinise production. 855-839-1210. All right, a lot of takeaways from today's cabinet meeting, much of which was televised, Dom Giordano Show, but one from Pete Hegseth assuring people it's well underway, a complete review of what happened in Afghanistan. Up and down the line, and I think they're serious about that. And again, a lot of things, blur over the speed of all this way back when with Biden. That is one that people have not forgotten about. The shame of it, the death of those American soldiers, and just the sheer, we did the right thing, and we're not talking about it anymore, and we're moving on. It stuck with people, and it's going to stick even more. So we'll let you know when we get Sean Parnell back on, who's the spokesperson for the Pentagon now, or Pete Hegseth, the progress on that. But I thought that was a pretty good moment from today's cabinet meeting, which was wild with Elon Musk talking to the cabinet members about their departments and Doge, et cetera. And the criticism is ridiculous. They didn't criticize Dr. Jill Biden actually sitting at the head of the table in one of the cabinet meeting situations. So big stuff today. All right, let's go to... Let's go to Susan in Chester Springs on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Susan, afternoon.
Well, I love your show as always.
Thank you, Susan, very much.
I'm so full of opinions, I don't know where to start. But as far as the chickens go, I raise chickens. They do kill the meat chickens if they find flu. I had a sick chicken that I couldn't take for an autopsy because they would have killed all my birds. It turned out everything was fine. But, yeah, and they're in horrible, filthy conditions. It's millions of chickens crammed in. It's pretty awful.
Yeah, and look, I got to examine the California regulation. I'm not a fan, Susan, so you know, and you watch. You'll see if I'm right over the years. This Brooke Rollins has taken over agriculture. There's been some stuff with her here that not good, but that's one of her positions. We are not cramming enough chickens in together. That's why the price is so high. California is nuts. You actually do this. And I think within reason, we realize it's not going to be a great life for the chicken. But, you know, within reason, I think we got to be humane here, too.
Well, and I love Elon Musk and Pete Hegseth. I love the whole idea of what they're doing. I think it's great. And my answer to the side question is, now I'm going to sound like Joe of Exton. From Roman times, people weren't very literate, so they would sign a public contract with a kiss. Then again, in World War I, soldiers would write home to their sweethearts and put SWAK. Then again, in the 50s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and I think maybe even in 1970, there were songs. Bobby Vinton did one, Sealed with a Kiss. And people still use it today and as Sealed with a Kiss. And also there's a particular type of compound that they use for threading pipes, Sealed with a Kiss. So that's my answer.
That's a real good one. Henry, that's probably like hieroglyphics. What was the one 100%. Today that I said was a generational thing? You didn't get it?
Hold on. I have them all written down here. Was it Kiss? Yeah.
Kiss thing. I saw a great one on Twitter that I could have seen as the – I think I have confidence in Philadelphia. If you said R.I.P., rest in peace, I think they would
get that.
Yeah, well, you're the optimist on this. I'm telling you, if I get a chance, I'm going to ask a multitude of people.
I think that would have been the winner had someone called in.
I think so. I'm going to say MLB, and I'm telling you, when Dan gets back here, you're not winning on that. I think you're going to be shocked at how little – that's going to hold the day. Drew in Upper Darby's on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Drew. Afternoon.
Hey, Dom. Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it. Hey, Dom, earlier in the show, I heard the interview with Senator McCormick.
Yes.
And he touched on this thought. However, I'm not saying he dismissed it, but he was kind of nonchalant. And that's with this mineral thing in the Ukraine. If peace is ever arrived at and the United States starts sending our technology in there and extracting all this wealth from land that he thinks it belongs to him and his people, because that's how the war started. He wants Ukraine, and it's not going to sit very well when he sees all this money being taken from land.
Well,
that he thinks it is.
The argument, though, if we have American interests there, that's going to dissuade him. Now, I would argue, I thought about it, that what you're saying, Drew. After Trump, though, if it's a weak president, I think you're right. That might make it even more enticing for him.
Yes. But you know what? My concern is even before, when Putin sits and thinks about it, he's going to realize. So the ball might not even get rolling on it.
I'm glad you picked up on that because we're going to follow up on this. Now, some people believe Russia will be cut in on it. I have not seen that yet, but we're going to.
Yes, I hope so. Well, we're
going to move on this to try to get the details on this. Drew, what's your side? I think you got a great one here.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate it. This term was used in the military. However, it was used in the Postal Service even more. Because nobody wanted to go into that job. It's AWOL, absent without leave.
Very good. Henry, I'd have to rule if we went into Philadelphia. I think a lot of people would know what AWOL stands for. Oh, no, you think that they may be tepid. I got to take this one here so we noodle this one. This might be a contender. All right, Ken in the Northeast. Ken, what's yours?
How you doing, Dom? The one thing that got my answer is when you said everybody has to know.
Yes.
I think everybody on the planet and People that aren't even from this planet know what a UFO is.
All right, that's a very good one. They know the concept where they know unidentified flying object, where they know it. I'd have to say pretty good chance in Philadelphia that that's the case. Yes, I think so. All right, 855-839-1210. The Earl of Tacony and Joe of Columbus got a great, Joe of Exton coming up. It is the lightning round next. Hit us with yours. Get your name into the hat. 855-839-1210.
The time has come for the final test.
We usually call it the lightning round.
That is right. This coming off this White House group yesterday, it had the showdown with the Trump administration. The correspondents just thought there's a lot of these abbreviations, et cetera, that we use to make into words like NATO. Do we know what they stand for, though? Would a lot of people do that? All right. Let's go to Henry. This is cautionary on this first one here, right? Let's go to Pat in Cinnaminson. All right, Pat, what's yours?
Hey, Dom, I love your show, Dom. Great show.
Thank you, Pat.
I think the word I'm going to use here is that you're experiencing the situation right now. Because you had no producers at your station?
Yes, yes.
Snafu.
Yes. Snafu. All right. Snafu. We don't want to say yes.
He was going to use a clean one, too. When I screamed him, he was like, I'll use this version.
All right. There you go. Well, that's fine. Yeah, Snafu is a good one. Do people know that?
I didn't know it was an acronym.
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea. He said that to me, and I was like, really? What does it stand for?
It's the foo bar thing.
That one, too. That was another one. I was like, oh, I had no
idea. That's World War II. That's where I would reference. I think that's where they said it most. Snafu. Maybe a little bit later. All right, let's go to the great Joe of Exton. Joe, good afternoon. Hi, Joe.
Yes, hello, Dom, and good afternoon. Dom, tell the caller, Susan, that Joe of Exton loves her as well.
All right, Susan. And she raises some great chickens there, so there you go.
And, Dom, your acronym is NATO. My acronym is Interpol, International Police.
Very good. Yes, we hear Interpol in a lot of shows. I don't know that people would say Interpol.
Again, that's one that's very easy, but I also didn't realize
it
was an acronym.
Yeah. Joe in Bordentown. All right, Joe, what's yours?
Hello, Dom?
Yes.
Yes, it would be DARPA. Which is the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency that funds secret military things. And I think it's possible that one of their projects is the drones that appeared over New Jersey.
That's trying to sway the judges. You know how I'm on the drone thing. I'm never going to give up on the drone thing. We may get Jeff Van Drew on a day here soon. He had his first big subcommittee thing the other day, but I will ask him about the drones. All right, this is a tricky one with Earl of Tacony, the Earl. Hey, Earl, what's yours?
I'm going to have to stand up for one of the previous callers first. Snafu was from World War II.
Okay.
Warner Brothers did the Sergeant Snafu cartoons in order to train the troops, and Mel Blanc did the voice of Sergeant Snafu.
Okay.
But
very nice.
I was going to go with the station, WPHT, for Philadelphia's Hot Talk. But I don't know whether that was part of the license application or not, because the name's been changed several times.
Right.
But I do know, and this is my answer, that Channel 6 is the second oldest television station in the city. It used to be WFIL. In 1969, the FCC determined that you can't own a newspaper, a television station, and a radio station in the same city by one company. So they broke up the company, they renamed Channel 6, and they went and they gave it a specific name so that you could identify it, WPVI. The P stands for Philadelphia, and the VI is Roman numeral for six. So WPVI means Philadelphia.
Oh, I did not know that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You knew that one, Henry?
Oh, I was very encouraged to hear that on the phone. It was awesome.
Yeah, that is a very good exposition. But we go into the streets of Philadelphia. Are they knowing that? You know, where are we going with that as a second part? But that was a very... nice research. So I had no idea what I thought, hey, you just come up with stuff because they've run out of it. You know, we used to have the big talker, which I always loved. I remember the move operation said, I was interviewing on the scene with them, and they said, stay away from that guy. He's the big talker. Oh, it made my day. I wish I had that on tape. All right. Henry, give me a couple contenders here. We kind of like SEPTA, but we didn't think they would know.
Based on this criteria of it being recognizable and would you get would you know what the letters stand for? Here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking of Bill and Bucks County's answer of POTUS, President of the United States.
You still think they would know that?
I still think people would know that. Okay. I also think another one people would know, maybe there's a language barrier this one, but Ken in the Northeast's answer of UFO. I feel like
I think the UFO is more likely than POTUS. I still, you know, we know it, talk radio and all that. I would go with the UFO. Yeah. I told you when, I think we'd get people in Philadelphia going, unidentified flying up. I think there's a shot.
Everyone's seen enough alien movies and
all right, let's put that into the hat. Don't forget, we're always looking for great side questions. Just send us social media, hit us with that, and we may use it. But we have I have a yellow legal pad that's on two pages now. So we got some good ones. Richie always next, though. He has it for four big hours. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.